ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 कुछ वर्षों में 50 बुद्धि युक्तो जहातिह उभे सुकृत दुष्कृते तस्माद् योगाय युज्यस्व योगः कर्माशु कौशलम्. A man engaged in devotional service rids himself of both good and bad actions, even in this life. Therefore strive for yoga, O Arjuna, which is the art of all work. Purport. Since time immemorial, every living entity has accumulated the various reactions of his good and bad work. As such, he is continuously ignorant of his real constitutional position. One's ignorance can be removed by the instructions of the Bhagavad Gita, which teaches one to surrender unto Lord Sri Krishna in all respects and become liberated from the chained victimization of action and reaction, birth after birth. Arjuna is therefore advised to act in Krishna consciousness, the purifying process of resultant action. So now Krishna is explaining that in this process, he has then said that we must perform our duties, our prescribed duties. But these duties are to be performed for pleasing Krishna. Then they become devotional service. Otherwise, if the activities are done for our own purposes, if we want to enjoy the results, then we become caught up or bound in the cycle of birth and death. And it is not devotional service. It may be pious work, but we become caught up. So Krishna is advising that these activities that we perform then should be done simply to please the Lord. If they're done with this purpose in mind, then, it says here, then both the good and bad reactions of work are destroyed or removed, even in this life. So, many times when we think religion means it will give us a good result. This is generally why people approach religion. They figure if I will take up the religious process, then by that process I will become prosperous. One approaches, one has anxiety, there's need of wealth, need of knowledge, need of something. Something is desired, something is needed. So then, I will approach the religious process, and by following this process, then things will be very good. And if things are good, then we think, this is good, this is a nice process. But if things don't work out nicely, then we start to doubt that something is wrong here. Why? I'm a religious man. I am performing my duties. I am a good man. Why bad things are happening to me? And if bad things happen, then I'm thinking that maybe there's something wrong with the process. So if I am being religious and I'm getting a bad reaction, then why follow religion? I can follow irreligion and also get a bad reaction. But in the process, I will also enjoy so many things. Being religious, I'm restricting myself. And by that restriction, I'm supposed to get something good. And so if I don't get good, then I'm feeling bad. So to avoid this, then Krishna is saying that we should perform our religious duties not for the result. The result is not what we're wanting. We're wanting to please Krishna. We have to serve Krishna some way. And in our conditioned state, how we will do that. We have a conditioned body, conditioned mind, senses. So how we will serve? We don't have a spiritual form. We don't have spiritual things that we are working with. We're working with the elements of this material world. Therefore, then we have to use these things. But how do they become spiritualized? By using them for the Lord. So then, the reactions that come, we are not worried about. We are not expecting that we will get a good result. The other aspect is the good result that we are getting today is not coming from our religious work that we are performing now. It is coming from our religious work we performed before. So when those items come to us, whatever, good or bad, then if we become attached to them or repulsed by them, we become entangled in them. So we try to avoid this by So here Krishna is pointing out that both good and bad will be freed from. Right? Generally we think, yes, if you perform the religious activities, you'll be freed from all bad reactions, and then everything will be nice. But Krishna here is giving with great, you know, inspiration to us that also all the good reactions will go away. You don't have to worry like this. So one may think, well, no, I want the good reactions. I want wealth, I want beauty, education, fame. I want these things. But the problem is then one being attached to them gets caught up in them, and one gets stuck in the material world. Therefore, the devotee doesn't worry about the reactions that come. He performs his duty, and he's not interested on whether a good result comes or a bad result for himself. He tries his best, uses his intelligence and all his ability to try to get a good result for Krishna, because the result's Krishna's. But Krishna, since it's Krishna's result and Krishna's in control, he may give a good result or not. That's up to him. So that we don't worry about. But if good results come, then we have to be careful that for our own activities in the past, we get good results. We get some position, some money, some fame, something that we consider good in this world. But those can also bind us. So even if those come, we cannot become attached to them. So whether the bad result comes, we should not be attached. And whether a good result comes, we should not be attached. Therefore, the instruction, we should not be elated in happiness or disturbed in distress. Because we are doing our duty in a detached way, because we're supposed to do it. And by doing that, without attachment, then whatever is coming from the past will be burned up. So then our past karma is gone, good and bad. And what we are doing today, we are doing it simply to please the Lord. So there's no future result. There's no good or bad result in the future for us to get entangled in. So then we become freed from the material world. So these two items have to be there. It's when we work with detachment. So the result that will come is not ours. So we have nothing to do with it. We don't have to worry about getting entangled. And then the experience that we are getting today for our past activities, we're not disturbed by them, either if they're good or bad. Then we are also free. And whatever we get, we use it in the Lord's service. We use it to remember the Lord. Then from our past activities, we are not bound. And from our present activities, we are not bound. Then we will be freed from the material world. So Krishna is saying here, even in this life, so it's possible. Because if we're freed from good and bad in this life, we're liberated. So that is, we're trying to get free from this material world. So here, this is still the aspect of the Bhuti Yoga, which is devotional service, but it's specifically devotional service that frees us from this material reactions. So these are the activities of regulated activities without desire for the result that will free us from this material world. Then, doing it for Krishna, trying to please Krishna, that will attract us to Krishna. So that will take us beyond liberation. Krishna is pointing out that these activities of detached work will give liberation. But we are not interested in liberation. We don't want to stop at liberation. Therefore, the importance of doing it for Krishna. If we do it for Krishna, then we will go beyond liberation. Because it's not enough to get out of this world. So one may also ask, well, why the good has to go? Because when the good reactions come, there's a tendency to become attached to them or proud of them, as we see in the discussions in the Srimad Bhagavatam on King Indra, that he is getting the results of good activities. He's done 100 ashramedha yagyas, and he's gotten the result. He is the king of heaven. Whatever there is in the material world of excellence is at his disposal. Whatever there is to enjoy, whatever position, power, fame, everything, he has it. And because of this, he is attached, he is proud. He becomes a miser, like it is said here in the previous verse. Those who want to enjoy the fruits of their work are misers. So that's why he's there. He wants to enjoy the fruits of his work. So even though he's one of the most prominent persons, the tendency is to be miserly. One wants to enjoy that fruits. So it binds him. In that binding, we forget Krishna. So when we do something and a good result comes, then we think, yes, this is nice. Krishna is so kind. And at that moment, we're remembering Krishna. Right? Because the mind has gotten what it wanted. So at that moment, yes. But then when we are associating with those results, then we forget Krishna. We have the wealth, we have the facilities, position. The tendency is to forget. Right? Just as the mind is forgetting the happiness that is there in this, we forget. And then Indra, even though he's king, he's going to be king. No one can kick him out for the length of his time there. Someone is here on the earth planet, and they're doing austerities, they're standing on their head or doing whatever they're doing. They get the piety to become Indra. They will not displace this Indra from heaven. When his time is finished, when his, 72 of the cycles of the yuga is over, then he will move on, and that next person will come and sit there. Not in between. But because of their attachment to it, he's always worried, this person will take my place, that person will take my place, everyone will try to take my place. So he's already, even though he has the good result, he's forgotten. Then he becomes overwhelmed by envy, lust, attachment, greed, all these things. Illusion. Indra is saying he's become illusioned. Unmada, he's become maddened by his position. He forgets. So it's the results are not good. We think they're good, but they're only good for a moment. One only enjoys anything in this world for a moment, upon acquisition. But after acquisition, no one enjoys. Before you're in anxiety, after you're in anxiety. The moment you have it, then you get it. Then you're happy. So good results are also a great disturbance. Therefore, it is a benediction. One is freed from them. It doesn't mean that they will not come. But for the devotee, he doesn't care. They come, don't come. We simply perform our duty because it pleases Krishna. And that is what is pleasing to us. Like if we have a relationship, that interaction of the relationship is what gives us the happiness. The results of it, even though we may be doing it, we like those results, but they're not actually what we're looking for. If we're sitting there with the results and no one to interact with, then what's the fun? Someone is very wealthy and he is alone. He has his big mansion and all his cars. But if there's no one to share it with, no one to see it, what's the happiness? There's no happiness. So whatever one has, it's because the real happiness is the exchange with others. So here, then, the devotional service is that exchange with Krishna. And we've done it for Krishna. And it pleases Krishna. And that is what actually gives us the satisfaction. We please Krishna, we please Guru, we please the Vaishnavas. And then that will give us the satisfaction we're looking for. And not the results of religious work. Right? Religion is simply a medium through which we can serve the Lord. Right? We know the philosophy. And that philosophy must be applied. Right? We are supposed to serve God. That is the philosophy. We are jiva. We are very small. God is great. We are his part and parcel. It is our constitutional position to serve. How we will serve? That's religion. You take some you know, pieces of round pieces of tulsi wood and tie them together and put them on a string, then put them in a bag that looks like a lotus flower, and then put your hand inside, but don't put your index finger inside, and then you chant on that. So that's religion. Right? Religion tells you all those things. But the chanting, it's that devotion, we chant, we see Krishna in his name, we remember Krishna, that's the devotion. So therefore, religion is simply a form through which we can show our devotion to the Lord. So that's why it's the most essential item. That religion without Krishna is useless. Kabir always says this. You know, that religion is only for developing love for Krishna. Therefore, the good and bad results of religion, we're not interested in. Right? It's simply we're using it for pleasing Krishna. Others, you want the good result. They want to get rid of the bad result. That's why they practice. But that's not our purpose. We take up religion because we want to please God. That is the position. Bhagavad says here, Bhagavad Gita teaches one to surrender unto Lord Sri Krishna in all respects and become liberated from the chained victimization of action and reaction, birth after birth. So you get the good result, you enjoy that, you become attached to that, then you're going to endeavor for that again. So we become chained in this. We become victimized by our own desires, our own endeavor. And then birth after birth, this goes on. Therefore, both good and bad must go. You know? So this is a very unique approach to religion, but this is Krishna's approach. You want to get out of here? We want to get rid of good and bad. You want to stay here? You get rid of bad, keep the good. Like that. Then if you really want to have trouble here, then you just, you know, you don't follow religion. You just go to hell, like that. Any questions on this?
Yeah.
Dharma, Artakama, and Moksha. Is also cheating religion. Means Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha is religion. But if it's not used for Krishna, it's cheating. If it's used for Krishna, it's not cheating. Means Dharma means that Dharma means what is the nature of something. And that nature is then recognized and acted upon. So the basic tenets of religion, then they tell you what is the nature of the mind, the intelligence, the senses, the particular body you have, therefore it has particular duties, and this way then gives rise to the whole Varnashram system. It's simply telling what is the nature of the particular kind of gross and subtle body you have, and how that should be then regulated in such a way to be used for elevating oneself. So that's religion. But then, so that's dharma. So sub-dharma, or the eternal religion, or sanatana dharma, means that you must see what is the nature of the soul. Because in this, we are the soul, not the body. So the soul is the servant of Krishna. So serving Krishna, then that's the essential religion. But what are we going to serve with in the conditioned state? We only have material body and material subtle body. So, therefore, then we follow the aspects of religion that Krishna has given only for pleasing Krishna. Right? Therefore, we get up, we take our bath in the morning, we, you know, we walk to the temple, we ring the bell, we offer our obeisances. So these are all aspects of religion. But we're not doing it for artha kama or moksha. We're doing it for pleasing Krishna. Therefore, it's called devotional service. Buddha yoga then means devotional service. So the same dharma used to please Krishna becomes sub-dharma. It's devotional service. But if dharma is used for artha, for kama or moksha, then that is cheating religion. Pious, but cheating. So Bhagavatam opens with this verse in the invocation that this kind of religion is kicked out. Therefore we see in Bhagavatam only examples of devotees following Krishna's instruction or the eternal religious principles, please Krishna. So you see, the Vedic culture is simply for how, what is the nature of everything, right? What is the nature of this situation, right? Of water. Okay, so then, how is water? Therefore, it is purifying. It can be used in this way to clean something in that way. Don't deal with it this way, or it'll become contaminated. We have cloth. Okay, what's the nature of cloth? Cotton cloth has this nature. It is pure in this way, or impure in this way. Wool is like this, cotton like this. Everything is given its nature. And then it is then given in a way to elevate one, to purify it, situate it in goodness. So that's religion. But if you take those same tenets and you do it to please Krishna, that you want Krishna, therefore I'm wearing a clean piece of cloth, cleaned in the way Krishna Shastras say, to please Krishna, because I'm going to do worship of Krishna and associate with the Vaishnava, that becomes eternal religion, Sanatana Dharma, that's devotional service. So when we say Sarva Dharmam Parityaja, it means you're kicking out this religion for religion's sake. So for us, we're doing devotional service. That's why generally we don't think of it as religion. But it is. Varnashram means religion. And the various regulation, rules and regulations of sadhana bhakti is religion. But because for us, we're doing it to please Krishna, therefore we always use the term devotional service. But since Arjuna has made a stand based on religious principles, and because of that he's not going to fight, therefore Krishna, we see here, is taking him through, you're talking religion, well, what is religion? What is the nature? You have a condition, you have a nature of a Kshatriya. Therefore, what is the nature of that? You're not going to go to the forest and not fight. You're going to fight. So many fights are there. He goes to the forest, he's fighting with the Gandharvas, he's fighting with everybody. We see, when they go for 12 years in the forest, constantly fighting. There's no time when they're not fighting. They're Kshatriyas. They go there, they see the crocodiles are bothering the sages. He must go kill those crocodiles and make it safe for the sages. As a Kshatriya, he must do it. He's not going to get away. So he's pointing out, you're going to do this anyway. But now, you wanted to do this to enjoy the kingdom, to enjoy the justice of putting Duryodhana in his place. So for material purposes, this is, you've approached religion for this, then you become bound up. This is foolish. Because you're not considering the soul. Right? Real religion can't be understood unless you understand the nature of the soul. And real religion can't be understood unless you understand the soul's relationship with God as servant. Then you can understand Varnashram. So Varnashram is simply a tool to be used to express our devotion to Krishna. It's simply our method of devotional service. Our sadhana and other regulations are simply a service to Krishna. We are clean, we are regulated, we are respectful, we are self-controlled, we are, we don't disturb others, we're tolerant, humble. We're not trying to become humble and tolerant. We're trying to love Krishna. Does that make some sense? So, that's right. Bhagavatam then opens with the point is that dharma, religion, should never be used for economic development. And economic development should never be used for sense gratification. If you perform dharma, artha will come. One doesn't have to worry. But that artha should not be used for sense gratification. It also should be used for the Lord. But dharma should be used for ultimate liberation, not the material liberation, but ultimate liberation, meaning attaining to the lotus feet of the Lord. That's real liberation. So that's the real religion. That's Sanatana Dharma. And the dharma without Krishna, that we throw out. That we're very careful about. Does that make some sense? Yes.
You were saying earlier that in religion, excuse me if I don't say it exactly how you said it, basically you said that if I don't get the results that I'm looking for in my religious process, and I'm going to change it or become somebody else and drop it altogether. Yeah. In Krishna consciousness, after so many years, so many devotees have approached the process, the religious process of Sanatana Dharma, And after 30 years, they're still looking at the senses, sense cultivating the senses, contemplating the senses, getting a bank account. And after so many years of so-called practice, how is it that the process appears that it doesn't work? Because so many people have been chanting for so many years, and they haven't changed their personality. They're still very attached, they're still angry, they're still lusty. Nothing has changed in their life in 30 years, so-called falling for real principles, chanting 16 rounds. Can you explain how it does work, and for maybe some it doesn't work?
No, it always works. It's just a matter of what you're looking for. The if we are looking to please Krishna, see, there's a point. One devotee was telling me today, it's an element of education that they teach you, that the first stage, there's four levels. First is that you are incompetent and you don't know it. You're ignorant and incompetent. The second stage is that you become educated enough that you know that you're incompetent. Right? Then the third stage is then you learn how to not be competent. So you're conscious, but and competent. And the fourth stage is then you're competent, but you're not conscious of it. You just do it naturally. So when we take up the process, then we simply are seeing the happiness of devotional service. We don't necessarily notice the impurities in our heart. Because especially, there's such a dynamic contrast between our life before Krishna consciousness and taking up Krishna consciousness. So then it's very obvious the difference. Right? And then we're very happy in this difference. But we don't generally see our own faults. So with the time of process, then you have a stage called anartha nivritti. So in that stage, so many anarthas go away, so many anarthas go just by the chanting process. But since we made a conscious decision to come to the material world, that we wanted to enjoy and control like Krishna, so we became envious of Krishna. So there must be a conscious decision to go back to Godhead. So we must become conscious of our lust, our anger, our greed, our envy, our illusion, all these things. We must become conscious of that. So many times, devotees, as they become conscious, they feel the process isn't working. But no, that's the sign that it's working. Because before, we weren't conscious. We joined and we figured, in 3 years, I'll be a pure, unalloyed devotee. I remember that's the way we thought in our temple. So, 3 years, I talked to some devotees in their temple, it was the opinion it would be 5 years. I guess we were more idealistic in our temple. So then, but then you go and you see the reality that there's some serious work here. So that you can see the anarthas, then the next stage is then to deal with them, that you decide, I don't want them. Because we have to be careful to not make the mistake that an old anartha comes rising to the top, and then you go, oh, that's not so bad, that's a nice thing. Then it won't go. Right? Krishna shows you, like you want to clean out the closet. Right? So much junk's in the closet, you don't care, you haven't looked at it for years. But if somebody decides to clean it, and they start taking this stuff out, then you go, hey, I have that. So that's the thing. Krishna pulls it out. You want this? You wanted it before. Last lifetime, this was very valuable to you. Like that. So you still want it? And if you say no, it's gone. Krishna will get rid of them. But we will see them. So that's the state that in anartha nivritti, that's the prominent feature, is that we see the garbage that's there, the nonsense that's there. And we have to make a conscious decision, I don't want this anymore. Then we will see, we'll start to go. It may be slow. It means we've piled up good and bad results for unlimited lifetimes. So Krishna is saying here, one lifetime he'll get rid of it. You follow devotional service, he says, a man engaged in devotional service rids himself of both good and bad actions, even in this life. So he's saying, if you rid them, you're liberated. So in this life, you can become liberated. But it's not. He's not saying it's not some work. Right? He said, therefore, strive for yoga. You have to strive to do everything for Krishna. That's the art of all work. You have to strive. It's not. He's not saying you just lay back in your armchair and that he'll take care of it. No, you must strive. So Krishna will bring these. You will see these. And then you can choose that I don't want these anymore.
Yeah? So in the process that we're doing, if the devotees then, when Krishna pulls it out of the closet and says, do you want this? We kind of go, well, can we just put that to the side? I'll decide later.
Yeah.
And then we kind of continue a flamboyant Hindu strange way of lifestyle, but still we're kind of like filing these or shelving them, not actually throwing them in the trash, but not putting them back in the closet either. We're kind of just hanging on. Is that it? Is that the problem?
That means that can be a problem. See, is in the beginning, we are like concentrating on following like the four regulative principles, chanting our rounds, being able to get up. You know, the basic tenets of Krishna consciousness, engaging ourselves in service, and it's a trouble for us. Some more, some less, because we're not used to it. It's not our natural, you know, Malecha Yavana lifestyle. With time, we become good at it. So we've used, you know, we've been conscious of being careful to not be in Maya. So when that becomes easy, then we've been you know, aggressive with these things to try to keep them in control. Now when that becomes a habit, now we have to then turn this aggressiveness towards the finer points, the deeper points, the actual attachments, the source of them, rather than just in this lifetime I have this detail of attachment to some sense gratification, but that's based on a root attachment. Right? It manifests like this lifetime, but it manifests like that in another lifetime. And the root attachment is I want to enjoy it, separate from Krishna. So we have to turn it on that. So if we do that, then it becomes very good. And then we can clear these things. We can see them, clear them out. Otherwise, the tendency is we become critical of others. I am situated, I am fixed in these basic fundamental principles of Krishna consciousness, which is important. But then instead of then going on to root out deeper things, I have a tendency to criticize others rather than use it to criticize finer points of myself. So that's another place where we have to be careful. It's the same point. It's just different angles of seeing the same thing. It manifestations. So the anartha nivritti means we have to see our anarthas rather than the others. Right? If we're in a position to take care of others, you know, we have dependents, either family members or we have some jurisdiction over devotees in some capacity. It's our duty to also see their faults. But that will be much easier and will be much more use to them if we are able to see our own faults. Right? Then we can learn to deal with them. Then we can help others deal with theirs. Otherwise, if we do the duty just of finding their faults, it's good. We pointed it out to them, and according to their capacity, they can take care of it. But if we can use that ability in ourselves also to see our own faults and try to remove them, then we can actually be more helpful to the other people. Right? Like that. It means if you can do it yourself, it's easier to get someone else to do it. Otherwise, it's theoretical. But at least theory is better than nothing. But if we're just criticizing to criticize, because it's something that's not in our jurisdiction, then it's not really much benefit to others, not much benefit to ourselves. So we have to be careful of this. It's also one of the anarthas, that we tend to be more emphasized the criticizing of others rather than ourselves. You know, if we can find our own faults, then we're qualified to see the faults in others. Like that. So it's a fine point that can be easily misunderstood or misapplied or misjudged. You know, that one is not having any result. I've done so much service, what result I have. But we know that the devotee did all that service not for any other motive other than to please Krishna. They did their preaching, they did their managing, their sampling, whatever, for so many years. And they may not have some great things for it. They may not have some great position or facilities or respect. But they never did it for that. But somehow the mind tricks them that you deserve. You've done so much work, you should get a result. Because that's the way religion has worked in every past lifetime. We do religion to get a result. So the mind tricks us. That's why Buddha yoga, the mind must be controlled by the intelligence. No, I didn't do that service to get a result. If Krishna wants, I'll get it. If not, I won't get it. Because whatever I get, it will be from previous activities anyway. So either now or before, how Krishna likes. So I should not try to, I'm not doing it for that purpose. And then in it we become purified, and then we start to see our sickness. Right? If you want to, like a child is out playing in the snow and rain and wind, and they're sick, and they're getting sicker, but they're having fun, they don't notice. Mother notices, tells them they're sick. You know, you can't play. And then they think this is not good. Why mother is restricting? Like this. But it's for the good. So when they actually understood, yes, I'm sick, then they can get rid of the sickness very quickly. Otherwise, they keep tending to want to run outside and play. So we have these desires. We see that that is the disease. You know, I have so many material desires. That's really what's keeping me here. I still desire to have them. So when I give up that desire, then my problem will go away, instead of engaging it. Unless it's something that is engageable. Right? Means the desire is here. Where is it? How does it say? Bhagavad Gita teaches one to surrender unto Lord Krishna in all respects. So that means every aspect of the life, every kind of desire, basically has some connection to Krishna. That's the purpose of religion, how to regulate everything. That's why the Krishna consciousness is the most perfect religion, because there's some regulation to connect everything to Krishna. It means like how you do with your hair, you know, how you take your bath, you know, how you dress. It means other religions generally don't get that much into it. Some to some degree, some not. You know, how you eat, which hand you eat with. You know, things, you know, modern thing, okay, you have your fork, it goes in this hand, knife and that. That's not controlled by religion, that's social custom. You know, the Bible, the Quran, these, they don't tell you which knife goes in which hand, which fork in which hand, the big spoon, the little spoon, they don't say that stuff. Right? That's just social, it's not religion. But in the Vedic, it gets into that much. How you should eat, what you eat with what, you know. Eat this first, and then after you eat the bitter, then you eat spinach, then you eat these other things, and like that, you eat the sweets. Religion says that. So then your eating is engaged in the Lord's service, how to taste, how to cook, your culinary arts, your music, your dance, your dress, you know, your ornaments, your everything. Everything is done connected to Krishna. Therefore, it's the most perfect religion. Sometimes we don't think of it as that, but it's also religion.
Hari Bhakti Vilas, like that. Hari Bhakti Vilas,
you know, these are the Dharma Shastras.
Yes,
Krishna Kshetra here. He's having a class every day. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 4:30 to 5:30. You can learn about our Gaudiya Vaishnava religion. They just ended today, folks. So therefore, the tapes are available. Like that. I don't get a cut for this. This is just out of order.
Devotional service.
Yeah.
Krishna
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that worship of the bhakta, devotee, pure devotee of the Lord, is actually superior type of worship. Mm-hmm. So we see many devotees, they don't see bhakta, Sri Guru, they may not have one, but they're just saying Krishna, 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 Krishna. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about how do we really please Krishna? Mm-hmm. Then worshipping the Sri Guru, mm-hmm. understanding Sri Guru, worshipping, mm-hmm. developing love for Yasya Prasada, Bhava Vishada. So, so much focus mm-hmm. is always on Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. We don't know Krishna. We know Sri Guru. So it seems, maybe you could speak a little bit about that.
It means that we see by approaching, if we approach Krishna, then, how do you say, we are small. So being small, then we have a small capacity to please Krishna. The devotees are great because they are the Lord's internal potency. So they can unlimitedly please Krishna. Mother Yashoda is like the embodiment of parental love, or the cowherd boy is the embodiment of friendship, you know, Radharani and Vrishaki is the embodiment of conjugal love. So they know how to completely fulfill Krishna's desire. So therefore we don't want to approach Krishna directly, because then in our small capacity it will not be a great increase. So instead of being pleased with the service of the devotees, then Krishna will need to be pleased with our service. So if it's one or the other, then our service will not be so wonderful compared to theirs. It means any service to Krishna, of course, is special. But their service is, you know, more than special. So their service is already pleasing Krishna so much. So if we serve their servants, then we are able to add to their already wonderful service our little bit of service. So then it becomes nice service plus a little bit more. Right? The example is given is like Mount Meru and two or three mustard seeds. So our service is like that, two or three mustard seeds. It's something, but it's small. And these servants, especially we see Radharani, her servants is like Mount Meru. So now it can either be a few mustard seeds to please Krishna or Mount Meru to please Krishna. What Lord Chaitanya's offering is that Mount Meru is there plus a few mustard seeds. So it's positive, it's more. Like this. So that's why we approach Subhu. That we see from the devotee, then we know Krishna. But in there, it's a matter of we are pleasing them, they are pleasing Krishna. So therefore, they want us to serve Krishna. So there, and we see Lord Chaitanya has therefore said we should always chant Krishna's name. Even though the Panchatantra Maha Mantra is more merciful and doesn't consider offenses. So it is actually more powerful for the conditioned soul than the Maha Mantra. But on the order of Lord Chaitanya, we don't chant the Panchatantra Maha Mantra as japa. We chant a little bit in kirtan before we start japa. And we chant kirtan and japa of Hare Krishna. Because serving the devotee, their order is what pleases Krishna. So when they say, serve Krishna, and under their order we serve, that is more pleasing than simply Krishna here in Gita is saying, you surrender to me and serve me. Like that. So therefore, we must approach Guru. Yes.
Krishna says, I'm more pleased by the worship of my devotee. And if you're a devotee, he's more pleased when you worship Krishna. What are you going to do? There we go.
Yeah. This is the point. So we're worshipping Krishna under the direction of the pure devotee. Like that. But that means there must be respect for the pure devotee. And besides that, not only the pure devotee, but those who are serving the pure devotee, whatever their capacity. Therefore we say, you know, what's it? Hari Hari Nam Krishna, we have. Hari Guru Vaishnava Bhagavad Gita. So Vaishnavas means, and this is all grades, of course, we're offering respect to the highest grades first, but anybody who has actually taken up service to Krishna is dear to Krishna. They're special. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that when you have a crowd of people and one says Hare Krishna, they're special in the crowd. They're unique. They're not ordinary. The others are, you know, other conditioned living entities. But this one is unique because they have actually chanted the holy name. So in our worship of the Vaishnavas, then we have the greatest respect and surrender to the great Vaishnavas, the pure devotees. But we also have great respect and honor for all Vaishnavas. Because we consider ourselves not really as Vaishnavas. We're practicing, we're trying to become Vaishnavas. Like that. So then the best position, we think others are Vaishnavas. You know, I'm the one that has the problem. It's not that, yes, I'm the Vaishnava, and this one has this problem, that one has that problem. That's easy to do, but we must be careful that we avoid that. unless it's our business to help them in their service. As Vaishnavas, they want to know how to advance quicker, so we're able to point out that this wasn't done properly, that wasn't done properly, then it's service to them. So we have to balance this, because otherwise the first stage is the neophyte sees Guru. If he doesn't see Guru, then he doesn't even really get situated in properly in Bhajana Kriya. That means we take up, we have faith, that faith grows, we take up association of Vaishnavas. Of that, then we understand the importance of following in the footsteps of the Vaishnavas. So then Bhajana Kriya, we take shelter of Guru. But then when we become fixed in the devotional principles, we become steady, then we see that we're able to associate with so many Vaishnavas in a pleasing way. So that's the next stage. And then the advanced Vaishnava, he sees all living entities as Vaishnavas. Just, they don't, may or may not remember it, but he's not worried about that. They're devotees. He just sees them as devotees. So we have to always see that enthusiasm to worship Guru also then includes the associates of Guru, like this, and those who are, you know, associated with the associates, like this. So then it becomes a broad family. Then there's where then in that society of Vaishnavas, like Srila Prabhupada established, like the Rupa Goswami envisioned, then there is a nice taste. Otherwise, if we just see Guru, that's good. But then we may run into problem because someone else is saying, you know, only seeing his Guru, someone else only his Guru, and then we won't associate properly. So therefore, we see our Guru, and then also all those connected with Guru. Guru's friends, Guru's, you know, other, you know, relations in the spiritual family. Then it becomes very good. Anything else? Yes. Here's your microphone. Means if we are desirous, see someone, you draw from people what is your mood. That is one thing. So
you have something to say?
So then you draw from someone what is your mood. Just like a child, if they are in need, they'll draw from the parents, you know, protection or care. And if they're in a playful mood, then there's nothing much to draw from the parents other than just appreciation, right? Because they're just doing it to play, and now and again they look over and see if you're looking. So that's all they're looking for. So if we have that mood that we are looking for that direction, then Krishna will arrange, we will get. That's the main thing. The essential, well, I mean, essential social principle of the Vedic system is that we start with ourselves. If we work on our own self, then naturally then we'll be able to help others. And those who then can work on themselves, they're the ones that are able to help, or are the best ones to take up that help. So it always must start with ourselves. So if we do that, we take that out, then we find that everything works. If we want, and everybody else wants, then we'll find that it'll slowly we'll start to understand that, and we'll start to relate in that way. But see, it's a natural tendency also, like we were saying before, may have been devotees would take that duty because Prabhupada wanted it done. And it was they had the position, they were doing the duties, and they would tell, this is wrong. And we see that devotees advanced very quickly, very, very quickly, in a very short time. I remember when I joined the temple, and there were like 15, 16 devotees in the temple, I had 15, 16 people telling me what to do. You know, don't do this, don't touch that, you know, don't do this, that's wrong, this is wrong. Everybody, you know, because they were there at least one day more than me, right? So they were senior, you know? So it's like everybody would tell it because it was, they were actually wanting to help. It may be due to our background and lack of refinement, it may have been rough, but it was a sincere desire to help. And because of the surrender, no one minded. But, you know, it's just with time as we get older, we were also young. When you get older, then you have a tendency is, you know, things should be said in a particular way or like this. So then devotees would have a tendency to be careful, because then they don't get a good reaction. Because in those days, you tell them like that, and you go, oh, so, you know, yes, Guru, or like that, or just maybe, oh, I didn't know, and immediately you just do it. They tell you that day, I remember, when they were just writing, I'd been a few days, and Dear Krishna Maharaj, he gets out the nectar of devotion, and he turns to the pages on all the 32 seva aparads, and he reads one right after the other. And then you just do them. Then when we got to the next temple, you just do it. You know, there's no argument. You just told, you did it. And the ones that you didn't know or you wouldn't know how to apply, then someone would tell you. And so then you learn very quickly. There was a desire to learn. So when there's pranipata, then naturally you'll inquire. Pranipata means the desire to know. Then pariprashna is there, and then we serve, we practice. And then another aspect of looking at it is, as devotees mature, then they're more careful. They feel unqualified to say something. They don't want to say, why I should say, I'm also not. So many times that they don't say it is not a bad quality. It's actually a symptom of good quality. But they're shy to say. Before they would say because of, I'm a senior devotee, whatever, me. But there might be some pride, or it might be just, this is what Prabhupada wanted. But now they'll be careful. And because people don't want it. Yeah. Sometimes they may get a bad reaction. So one has to see the situation. So if you want, Krishna will arrange. And you find that association, which you will get that guidance. Right? That Rupa Goswami says, we should desire more advanced association. And we should seek it out. So more advanced means that you see someone who has a quality or an ability in any area of devotional service that is approved, and they're excelling in that, take that association. And if we're just always looking around for that one perfect person who never does anything wrong, we may be waiting a long time, because even if we find that person, we won't find them. Right? We won't recognize. Right? Because there's that story of after their training, in the school of Dronacharya, then he brought Yudhishthira as the head of the Pandavas and Duryodhana as the head of the Kauravas, and then instructed him. He said, told Yudhishthira, you go out and find me one bad man, absolutely, totally bad person. And he told Duryodhana,
keep going, Maharaj.
Yeah, he told Duryodhana, you go out and you find one good man. So they both went. They both went and they looked all over the world, and then they came back. And so when they came back empty-handed. So when he found Duryodhana came back and he said, so, where's the bad man? I mean, where's the good person? No, I looked at everybody. Everybody has some fault. You know, even how good they are, I found something wrong. No good people. And then when Yudhishthira came, then he asked him, okay, where's the bad person? No, even the worst person has some good quality. They're not completely bad. So if we're looking for one person, we may be disappointed. Right? That even they're there. People would even find fault in Prabhupada. Not that it's there, but they would find it. They didn't like something. So we have to be careful, is that you see a good quality, associate on that platform. Don't have to associate in other things. The person chants japa nicely, associate at that time. Maybe they do funny things when they take prasad, so don't sit with them at prasad. Right? Right? We have to be able to, this is the swan. Swan takes the milk, leaves the water. Right? We have to be very careful of the Western concept, is you're either 100% good or you're zero. There's nothing in between. It's all or nothing. This extremist is not good. You see this? Milk is here? You take the milk. Right? We never said is that, you know, the swan is taking, you give him a bowl of milk and then it drinks the milk. No, we're saying water and milk, and they take the milk. So that means water is there. So something useless may be there, or undesirable or unnecessary, but we don't take that. We take what's good. Then you have unlimited good association, because everybody is good at something like that. Even if it's a small thing, we appreciate that, and then we associate with all those good qualities, then we're surrounded by good association. So that way we can always find. Does that make sense?
Yes.
This phrase, yoga, as karmashu koshalam. It's a very nice phrase. Hmm. Karmashu koshalam. The art of work.
Yeah, the art of work. Yeah.
Good title for a book or something.
Yeah.
These motivational speakers, they, you know, seven effective ways.
Yeah. They find a catchy title, right?
Yeah. So here it is. It's so nice.
Yeah, the art of work.
Okay,
so then, on that note, we will. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki, Salaveta Bhaktivrinda ki, Jai Nitai Gaur Prinadana.